The end of slavery in the United States did not arrive in a single moment, though Americans would later remember certain dates, speeches, and signatures as if they had carried the full weight of liberation by themselves. It came through war, law, resistance, politics, and the actions of enslaved people who forced the nation to confront the institution it had protected for generations. By the final years of the American Civil War, slavery was no longer merely a moral issue debated in churches, newspapers, and political conventions. It had become the central question of the nation's survival. The Union could not be restored exactly as it had been before 1861, because the war had revealed that the old Union had rested upon a contradiction too powerful to ignore. A republic founded on liberty had tolerated, defended, and expanded human bondage. The 13th Amendment emerged from that contradiction, transforming emancipation from a wartime policy into a constitutional command. Its passage marked the legal death of slavery, but it also opened a new and uncertain era in which freedom had to be defined, protected, and made real. For more than 200 years before the amendment, slavery had shaped the economic, social, and political development of North America. In the 17th century, European colonists had created systems of forced labor that gradually hardened into racial slavery, especially in the plantation regions of the South. By the 18th century, enslaved Africans and their descendants had become central to the production of tobacco, rice, indigo, and later cotton. Their labor enriched planters, merchants, shippers, banks, and manufacturers far beyond the slaveholding stakes themselves. Even where slavery declined or disappeared, the profits of slavery circulated through ports, textile mills, insurance offices, and trading houses. This meant that slavery was never only a Southern institution. It was a national system, protected by law, strengthened by commerce, and embedded in the compromises that held the United States together from the beginning. The framers of the Constitution did not use the word slavery directly, but they built protections for it into the nation's founding structure. The Three-Fifths Compromise gave slaveholding states increased representation in Congress and the Electoral College by counting enslaved people as part of the population while denying them rights as persons. The Fugitive Slave Clause required the return of people who escaped bondage, and the Constitution prevented Congress from ending the international slave trade before 1808. These provisions reflected the political bargain of the 18th century. Union would be preserved by compromise, even if compromise meant protecting a system that contradicted the language of the Declaration of Independence. As the nation expanded westward in the 19th century, each new territory forced Americans to ask whether slavery would also expand. The question could be delayed, softened, or disguised, but it could not be permanently avoided. By the time Abraham Lincoln entered national politics, slavery had become the defining issue of American public life. The cotton economy had made the Deep South intensely dependent on enslaved labor, while Northern opposition to slavery's expansion grew stronger. Many Northerners did not begin as abolitionists. Some opposed slavery because they believed it degraded free labor, threatened white farmers, or gave slaveholders unfair political power. Others opposed it on religious and moral grounds, insisting that no human being could rightfully own another. Meanwhile, enslaved people themselves continually resisted through escape, sabotage, community building, family preservation, and the maintenance of spiritual and cultural traditions. Their struggle made clear that slavery was not a stable or natural order. It had to be enforced every day through violence, surveillance, punishment, and law. When Lincoln was elected president in 1860, he did not campaign on immediate abolition. He opposed the expansion of slavery into the territories, but he repeatedly stated that he did not intend to interfere with slavery where it already existed. To white Southerners committed to the power of slavery, even that position was intolerable. Secession followed because slaveholding leaders believed the future of their institution was no longer safe within the Union.